Geek Radio Daily, bringing you a little bit of RavenCon. This is the Cult Movie Panels, which I moderated and was joined by members of Charming Underclothes, the crazy cool group I know you saw at Mysticon shadowcasting in front of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, who did an amazing job shadowcasting the lost skeleton of Kadavra at RavenCon. There's even a special cameo from a man who made the props from that movie, Mr. Courtney Skinner, so kick back and relax as we talk the good, bad stuff.
For what? Are
we supposed to be prepared for that?
Yes, we need to pay.
Stop.
What? Yeah.
It's your brain.
You have less than a minute.
All right.
Dun. Screw it. Let's do this thing. All right. Wow. Congratulations to all of you folks who are awake. Hi. Yeah.
We're really proud of you.
I saw we were at 11 a.m. and I'm like, oh no.
Welcome to 11 a.m. parentheses panel. Parentheses. Cult movies. A feature presentation. Now, how in the world can a cult movie be a feature presentation in the first place when it means that much to you and takes up that much of your life and time? Hi, I'm this guy from GeekRadioDaily.com.
Ding.
Ding. Ding. You. Ding. Fantastic. My illustrious panelists are here with us today. We're going to discuss cult movies. Please tell the world who you are and why they should know you.
Hi, I'm Syrinx. I'm actually the cast director for Charm and Underclothes.
I've heard of them.
That's us.
Oh, that could be
one. Yeah.
Wait, you've heard of them? I haven't.
Oh, me? I'm Kitty Galore. I'm a burlesque dancer and a member of the Charming Underclothes, and I'm magic. That's why you should be here.
I am Intoxicate. That is obviously a stage name.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
No.
I thought that's just what we said when we looked at you.
Your mama was so cool.
No. Yes, my mother was just that cool. I am also a member of the Charming Underclothes cast, and you should know me because why wouldn't you?
That's a very fair question.
Oh, wait, I feel like I should interject. So for those of you that don't know what the Charming Underclothes cast, officially started out as a Rocky Horror Picture Show shadow cast, and we're expanding our repertoire. Tonight at 4, we're doing The Lost Skeleton and Kadavra.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of cult movies,
hold yourselves in the middle.
Point of order. Tonight at 4, are you saying 4 a.m.?
No.
P.M.
or P.M.
Yes.
Okay.
This actually both, we are doing an encore presentation at 4 a.m.
You are soft for false information.
There is a 4 a.m. no holes barred version.
Oh,
that will happen.
In our hotel room?
Fully new.
I'm not in that one.
Rule 34. There's a lot of voting going on there.
Wow. Okay.
Your turn.
Yes. I'm Tim. I didn't come prepared, so I just carved my name in the coffee cup
because
it was there. Hello, Juliana.
Hi.
How are you? I'm part of the Charming Underclothes cast. I've done other theater stuff here and there. For the Charming Underclothes, I do the callback stuff, so I tend to just yell at them.
That's all the naughty things.
Right.
He yells at us
while
we're on
stage.
Yeah, although actually the Lost Skeletons screening later this afternoon is PG-13, so we're family friendly for once.
Well,
just this once.
Yes.
In theory.
Yeah.
That's why I'll be speaking Mandarin.
Nice. Thanks, Mimi.
Wednesday morning. I am an alternate director of Charming Underclothes. I also am Janet for the Charming Underclothes. That's why you should know me.
Oh, wait, we're supposed to say what we do in Charming
Underclothes? No, this is however you wanted to do it.
I was like,
you did what
she wanted. I feel like I should be important.
You are important.
Right there?
You've got something.
I'm also part of Charming Underclothes. I actually also play Fred.
I thought he was going to think he also plays Fred.
Yeah. Art.
Well, they do get married. Spoiler.
And for real.
Yeah, for real too.
Yeah, they're very method. They are very
very
method.
Very interesting.
Very method.
All right. So that is everyone. Cult movies. You're here obviously because you know that there's good to be found in bad stuff. Obviously.
Like us.
So, cult movie is a feature presentation. Like I said, I believe that means that's the kind of thing you're geared toward. That's what you look forward to. You'd much rather see that than whatever robots are battling each other nonsense. It's what the hell ever.
CGI.
So, what was it? What movie brought you over? What was your entry into cult movie?
I have to say, probably Clue.
Ha! Nice. Mm. Because Clue's a cult movie now.
For such an ensemble cast, it's not as many people have seen it as they have without more of the Hollywood blockbuster movies. So.
Sure.
Oh, you made Waterfall.
Got
you
it.
You did that. You totally said, Knocked it over.
Lap it up.
You're welcome. She is a kitty.
I don't know what's there.
Oh, no? That would take a picture on Billy's phone.
I'm clockwork orange. I've got...
Wait a minute.
Oh my god. See, this is why...
This happens when you drop water on the table.
No, it's still recording. Okay. It's only a phone call.
Oh, good. Water doesn't bother it.
Awesome. We've learned so many things today.
Yes.
None of them what the panel's about.
All the... Welcome to Billy's phone.
All right. This is a... I'm not a good interjector, so I just sit quietly and do my thing. I should do the ultra-violent thing and say, shut up, let me talk.
Yeah.
Feel free to beat me with that if you need to.
Yay. I like Clockwork Orange. I do not like violent movies, but this was filmed in such a way. It was, the soundtrack was brilliant. Everything about it was mind-blowing, and it was so fucked up and weird and sad at the same time that I, like, loved it instantly. And since I'm a burlesque dancer and I'm Kitty, I had to like make my own version of it because, you know, that's how I do things. But that's my favorite movie.
Makes sense. I actually had two, mostly because I saw the first one when I was so young it didn't really register as a cult movie to me. I had either a really wonderful or really terrible mother because I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was 12. I owned it.
Wonderful mother.
I owned it when I was 12. I had that movie kind of down pat as a teenager. I had audience participation. So I was very aware of that kind of situation, but I wasn't really aware of cult movies. But my real entry into cult movies was, in case you can't tell from the outfit, Heathers, which was really a life-changing movie for me. I'd never seen a movie quite like it. It was this beautiful blend of nihilism and just complete obliviousness to its own nihilism, and it was just the situation of these deaths and these really awful situations and the people involved just not giving a shit. And I think that's what really got me into cult movies was definitely Heathers.
I think for me it was the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I went to school for theater for a couple years. That was like the first show they did. I actually was going to be Eddie in that, I am.
Get your story straight, Timothy.
Yeah, I know. Dr. Scott. Yeah, I'm. It was Eddie. Never mind. anyway, got involved in doing the callbacks for that. Brought multiple different scripts. Just got really excited about that, and just haven't looked back.
Mine was also Rocky because I grew up very sheltered, super duper Christian and everything. And then I went to college, and one of my friends for my 18th birthday took me to go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show in front of a big white screen and shadow casted. So I got into it because it was everything that I wasn't supposed to be into.
Actually, so. I think if I can piggyback on that, I have a Bible degree, so likewise. Yeah.
So I'm kind of new to the cult movie thing, actually. She introduced me to Rocky. I was very interested in after I watched it. Just a very overall good presentation. Well, Repo too. Repo was also good.
Oh, Repo.
I love
Repo.
Future Shadowcast. That was
the one time when I could see Paris Hilton was a fantastic
star Wars that I actually got into.
Yeah.
Wow. That's quite eclectic.
Womp womp.
So, what sings out to you? What is it about these weird, offbeat movies that makes you go, yes? Because there are people that don't get these. I know since you're here, you understand. You're like, why the hell are you asking that question? But there are people that don't get these movies. They just don't. They look at like, what? And they make that face. They do. They make that face.
Yeah.
What is it about the off-kilter that sings to you other than the fact that you are off-kilter?
There's something about it that you're able to grab onto and make it a part of your life. Whereas like the mainstream Hollywood movies, it's all flash and it's all pretty and it's like 2 hours or 3 hours of jam-packed awesomeness and you're like, yeah, that was great, and you go home. But in the long run later, I don't think they really stick in your mind other than like some, you know, choice scenes. But the cult movies seem to be more, like, obviously less of a budget. And I think that's why it almost comes off as a very pretty home movie, almost. but it just seems to be more personal because of that. And it allows you to, like, you kind of feel ownership of this movie. Like, I'm part of this elite group that likes said movie. That's what it is for me.
I'm better than you.
Cult movie hipster. Okay.
Yeah, this guy had a question.
I was actually going to say, as an analyst, that my introduction to cult movies was actually Evil Dead. I have to say, the thing that really drew me into it and really gets me into the cult movies is the fact that it really looks like it's less of the Hollywood flash and the big money look. It's more of the fact of, I could do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and it just makes you feel like, you know what? You can go into the back with like a little camcorder and like some friends and go out into the woods and make a horror movie, and damn, that looks good. And, you know, it just kind of makes it a little bit more real to you and makes it more, you know, that. Plus, as he was saying, just makes you feel like I'm part of this small group of people that, you know, you can walk over and go, you know, Evil Dead, and someone else
Speed
goes,
films
hell yeah. You know, you kind of have that little club.
Before there was an internet, you had that magic moment where you said a line and someone knew it. You're like, friend!
Yeah. So you want the truth of why, like,
No, I want you to lie to me. When has that ever been a good idea?
Well, I've heard you say that to plenty of women.
No, you haven't.
Lie to me.
I've said lie to yourself while you're
funny.
With me.
True. So when I see weird movies, I grew up very sheltered. Like, my mom was Carrie's mom. Like, Carrie's mom. Get in the closet and read your Bible. That's how it works. That's how weird people are born. Religion borns weird people. It messes us up.
It's true.
So true.
Wow. I could actually hear the thought of, that makes sense now. From the
Yeah. How many of us are, you know, how many of us are last Catholics at this time?
There's a moment of awkward awakening, I think, just happened.
Glass sculpted penis. Like, I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And he picks this big thing up and he's all like, I'm like, what the fuck is that? That's the greatest and most fucked up thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't even know what's going on. But that, I said, who does that and who likes things like that? And then I found out that other people did and I didn't feel so bad. So that's why.
That's fantastic.
I like
You found a friend.
I found a friend.
Yeah. And Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah.
Good God.
I think a big part of it is a lot of them, and there are some that are just movies that ended up, you know, this way, and I'm not sure it was the case, but I feel like they're making movies they want to make, and they don't care if it becomes popular. Mm. They're telling a story they want to tell. They're making something they want to make, something they enjoy. And I think, you know, that's different than the 39th superhero blockbuster this year. And don't get me wrong, I love my fucking shitty superhero blockbusters, but it's a different thing, you know. There's an integrity to it, there's a realness, there's an honesty, because they're making a movie they really believe in, you know, and that movie may be a skeleton fighting a mutant, you know, or a bunch of high schoolers not killing themselves, or, you know, organ repossession and, you know, as a complete rock opera, but they're making something that they really want to be making. And I think that's something that makes it really special, and people realize that when they're seeing it. And I think that's why people are drawn to it. It's certainly part of why I'm drawn to it.
Okay.
Also, Catholic. I wasn't allowed to see Jurassic Park till fucking college. Okay, somehow Rocky Horror Picture Show got in there, but for Jurassic Park, no. Okay. It was a very weird situation.
I'm just a sweet Triceratops.
That's that one. I love that musical number when Jeff Goldblum sang that.
He said, "Eat me, you eat me,
Dennis." Oh, jeez.
I feel like that should be a thing now.
Is that going to be our cash shirt?
You can buy that later.
And chicken's
meteor
done.
Coming down to Earth. Oh, Rocky.
Oh, God, that'd be fun. God, Rocky callbacks in the Lost Skeleton show. That might be fun.
We have some tonight,
at least. But anyway, I think it's the community that kind of spurred is birthed through the movies. You know, just seeing another Rocky cast, you go, friend.
So, why weird, Jeff?
Yeah, exactly. It's your, your baggage matches mine. This is great.
So, me twins.
Yeah. For me, it was definitely, it started out as, this was something that I could kind of rebel against like my family and everything. And then I was like, you know what? These people really don't give a fuck. I was like, and I felt very drawn to the community. I was like, you know what? These are my people. I have discovered them. I have found them. This is home now.
Yeah. Kind of reiterate on that. Yeah, it's a family. I look at every one of these nice people and actually think.
Nice people? Where?
Sometimes.
Wow.
Oh, I thought I'd tell you.
We're not laughing in the face.
Yeah, you're not whacking me in the face.
In every nice production.
Every one of them are family. I can look at that. I've had friends for many, many years, and I'm closer to my cast family than I am to my actual friends I've had for many, many years. So,
and that's what cult movies do.
Yeah, that's what it does. So, yeah, and I like the, you know, just the camaraderie and the jokes. We all have fun with that. You know that, Billy.
I do. I certainly do.
Yeah.
Like to be. So, once upon a time, Rocky Horror Picture Show was called the movie that they would never show on TV.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
It's on TV every year now on multiple channels, and they even did the musical.
We don't speak about that.
So, the question is, as cult people, as people, because it happens in every genre and everything, music, books, everything, what happens when the cool thing only you and your people know about? What happens when the rest of the world kind of figures out it's cool? Does it dilute your enjoyment? Is there something, does it take away from the magic, the mystique of it all?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
The love of the original is still there. It's really you're fighting for a cause now because you're like, no, don't see that version. You got to see this version.
Yeah. Don't see the Fox remake?
Yeah, because
we can do better than that.
I mean, really, like, outside of the Rocky travesty that happened. For me, the one that I really fight for every time Michael Bay puts out a new one is the original 1986 Transformers movie. Like every time that movie comes out, I'm like, I'm watching Transformers, the 86 movie, the real hashtag the real one or something like that.
Orson Welles' final performance.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So it just gives you something to fight for every year.
So you don't hate the
or
new people?
Or fight about.
You don't hate the new people that come aboard?
No.
They're going to buy our stuff.
Everyone has to discover it at some point. Just because you haven't discovered it yet doesn't mean you're not going to come to love it the same way that we do, you know? Every show I probably mark about, like...
Oh, dear God, that's a lot of virgins.
A third of the audience is virgins, at least. And these are people who've never seen it live, but they're getting to experience this. And I've seen so many virgins who have either joined a cast or come to see the shows regularly. I had a group of virgins come in costume to see us. And I'm pretty sure their Columbia's costume was almost as good as mine.
Wow.
I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I've been shadow casting Rocky since 2005. And so, of course, you're always going to have the core people, especially, like, you know, the long-timers that have been there since, like, the early 80s. And the people that just, you know, they tell two friends. So you get that regardless. I will say, like, the Glee episode that happened, in the end...
Episode first.
Yeah. In the end, it brought new people to our show. Now, they were a little bit, like, taken back because, like, well, you saw that on TV. Let's show you what the real thing's about.
Same with the Fox remake, honestly.
Yeah, and the Fox... I mean, so, like... As bad as we may think it is because we're so heart...
And because it is bad.
Yeah, because, you know, that we're so heartfelt to the original. It does find a different audience, and then hopefully it's, you know, they will seek out and find the showings or, you know, whatever shadowcast is.
Find the better showing.
Indeed. I'm still thrown Ben Vereen was in that. To this moment, Ben Vereen, I keep going, Ben Vereen's here. Why is Ben Vereen here? I want someone to tell me how that happened. Because that seems like it'd be a fascinating story in itself.
He wanted to.
Of course he did, but someone didn't know that. That just kind of came up and Ben Vereen went, yeah, I want to do that. And they went, you did? I want to know that story. So here's the question I've been waiting to ask for so long. We all have this. What is your cult movie that you love that you don't think anybody else really knows about?
Oh, goodness.
Hmm.
Is it like collectively Lost Skeleton?
Well,
I'd almost have to say, Devil's Carnival.
For a while, until I found other people who liked it, it was a movie called Iron Sky.
Really? Come on! That's Udo Kier. Come on. Yes.
Which, if you haven't seen that, it is based on the premise that the Nazis escaped to a base on the moon, obviously, after World War II, and they lived on the moon, and they didn't know what black people were anymore. And then a black astronaut sent to space by a Sarah Palin-esque president discovers this colony of moon Nazis, just your average, heartfelt family story.
And moon Nazis is now a word.
Moon Nazis is now a word. It has a hyphen in it. So that was one that I found. And then the ensuing sequel.
There is a sequel
that involves lizard people.
Holy
yes,
hell.
The sequel is even better slash worse than the original.
There's also a director's cut of the original that gives you a little more Udo Kier, which for my money is always worthwhile.
Always more Udo Kier. Yeah.
So I don't know if mine's cult, but I thought that nobody had ever seen this movie before. You ever seen Louis Gossett Jr. and Dennis Quaid do Enemy Mine?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, my favorite fucking movie. The Drax are my favorite!
I could be wrong on this, but I think Siskel and Ebert loved it. But the audience people just, themselves didn't because they weren't fighting.
Yeah, they weren't. It was very sweet and compassionate and loving and awesome. And
people
I love
hate
every
compassion
bit about it. Like, it's a great movie to watch.
Well, anybody that's come by that said let's love each other, we've usually killed them.
Well, they wanted to kill each other.
Campaign.
Yes, it does. For me, up until recently, because I've met other humans that have.
You've met other humans in general.
Yes, it's a learning experience. No, I think Repo: The Genetic Rock Opera.
Yeah,
I love it.
So,
look to the future for Charming Underclothes, maybe performing that one day.
Yep.
Actually, Brittany's already done it.
I've already done it. Yeah.
Yep.
I was Shiloh.
Okay.
Running in boots that have like 6-inch heels. It's very hard.
It's not
I'm
easy.
Not looking forward to the heels.
It's not easy.
But you would know.
Because mine. Because, no one asked, and that's what I'm going to tell you.
Oh, are we supposed to ask you your thoughts on
things? No.
What are your thoughts on things?
No.
Answer all the questions you've asked, Billy.
Because I asked this question specifically so I could mention a couple of things. One, of course, being the movie no one ever seems to have even heard of. Have you seen the movie Brick?
Yes, I love that movie.
Brick is a wonderful, hard-boiled detective story that takes place in a California high school starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes!
Awesome!
Yes.
Well, it's
yes.
on the list.
You're my friend now.
See?
Oh, it's sweet.
It is beautiful because once upon a time, back in my military days in tech school, we're throwing out stupid ideas while drinking. Me and a buddy of mine had this great idea that, you know what we need to do? We need to make this show. It's a hard-boiled, crazy, Philip Marlowe-style detective series.
Nice.
But it takes place in the future. So the guy would still do the voiceovers, the narration and everything, and even have it set so his office was black and white. If you were in his office, you looked black and white. And we thought this would be hysterical. So I have a love for this kind of thing. And finding this weird little movie that is something Sam Spade would solve if he was still going to school is incredibly, incredibly awesome. No one's really heard of that one. Becoming more and more popular, especially since I've been spreading the love for it, tell me you have seen Cannibal the Musical.
I have.
I meant Spadoinkle.
You did say Spadoinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I did.
When Matt and Trey from South Park were still in college on their spring break, they went up into the mountains and they made a movie. And it's a musical.
Brilliant.
And it's based on the true life story of Alfred Packer, the only person in this country ever convicted of cannibalism. And it's a good time for the whole family.
It's hilarious.
I promise it. You will laugh so much. You will understand South Park so much more than you ever did because it's there before it ever was. It's there. And there are some beautiful songs in it.
It's lots of beautiful songs.
And that's something I'd love to see done live. Yeah. Have you ever seen they do live action musicals of it?
Have you ever seen Amazon Women on the Moon?
Yes.
Amazon Women on the Moon.
Sequel to Kentucky Fried Movie?
Sort of.
Unofficially. Yes.
Unofficial
just
sequel.
Same people.
Yeah. Just for the sketch comedy. Right. And
Ain't no Sheila here.
Yeah. My favorite part of the entire thing, and I was actually talking to somebody about it, is just look up on YouTube a video called Arsenio Hall's Bad Day.
Yes.
And just was, nice. It's this little like 3 or 4 minute clip from Amazon Women on the Moon. It's the very first sketch in the movie. And it's basically him coming home from work and having the worst day ever just trying to relax in his apartment.
It,
it is
they're
the
funniest thing I have ever seen. The whole movie is hilarious.
Your TV station is trying to show you a film, Amazon Women on the Moon, that keep having issues, so it keeps cutting to other things. So yes, it's basically a Kentucky Fried Movie, but with a different one. And Monique Gabrielle. Okay, yes, go ahead.
All right, so to your question, mine is also a musical.
Okay.
Got released nationwide, but was a flop. Which is surprising considering all the stars that are in it. But I love Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Oh, really? Yes.
I am a huge fan of that movie.
Really?
It's wonderful.
It is. It's amazing.
Wow.
I'm not familiar
with this. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was supposed to be a Broadway musical. They did the film of it first to get the interest going. If you watch the credits, they mention the book and everything. Mm-hmm. They mention the Broadway credits, though it never happened. The Beatles were not in this at all. Mm. So, you of course, who could take the place of the Beatles? The Bee Gees?
Peter Frampton.
Yes! It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Wow.
It's really good, actually. I like it too.
It's like the Beach Boys filling in for Marilyn Manson.
If you've had a thing or two to drink, there are some things to get out of it, but it's the weirdest shoving of every Beatles song, person, thing. Cool. George Burns
is Mr. Kite. Yeah, what's cool about it is like everybody's a character from Beatles songs. So George Burns, Mr. Kite, Alice Cooper's the Sun King.
The still relatively just got famous Steve Martin is Maxwell singing about his silver hammer.
I will also put Maxwell's or Steve Martin's Maxwell's silver hammer up against Steve Martin's dentist probably or something.
Now, if you never
I just want to see that death match.
If you've never seen or heard of this, here's how you do know it. That version of Come Together by Aerosmith you hear sometimes is from this movie. Because the big plot building to this is Donald Pleasance, who is a very bad man, makes a bad band. And only the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton can slay Aerosmith.
Captain suits and band leader shit.
Now, on the subject of musicals.
Wait, no. There's one last thing you can have. Because whenever I think of this movie, the thing I can never get out of my head is Donald Pleasance looking at the band doing a Burl Ives spoken word version of I Want You.
Yes.
I Want You.
So bad.
It's the creepiest thing you're ever going to see.
Well, Billy Preston as the weather vane.
Billy Preston is amazing.
You know, you can't talk about cult movie musicals without mentioning Reefer Madness, which is actually a musical satire of a much earlier 1930s cult movie, also called Reefer Madness.
I've seen the original.
I didn't see the musical. But yes, I mean, that one was just... the original musical was great, and then in 2005, they put out the TV movie starring Veronica Mars or Kristen Bell or whatever her name is.
I'm only going to call her by what I know her as.
What? Actors have names, I don't know what you mean.
That's fine.
What about you, Tim?
What's the question?
Cult movie you didn't think anyone else liked? Or did you already
say that?
No, we
looped back around.
Yeah.
But that brings up an interesting point. People taking... They made a musical of Reefer Madness and it's loved, and in its own right has become somewhat of a cult film. What do you think of the concept of intentionally trying to make cult films?
Sharknado.
Sharknado!
I think you reach a point where it's not a cult film anymore because they're trying too hard.
They're trying too hard.
They're trying
to make a cult film. They're specifically working with an intent, and that intent, like I said before, what makes a cult film great is that people are making something they love, and I don't feel like that's really present in Sharknado 37. Pamela Anderson fights a Sharknado with a chainsaw or whatever.
I also loved probably the Human Centipede, and that was a forced thing.
Never seen it. Won't watch that.
Gross
just
to be
a little
gross.
Messy.
There's just a line that I have.
Well, someone for 2 years.
One of the great things, if you've not seen The Lost Skeleton of Cadaver, and shame on you, you have a chance today.
Yay!
One of the great things about it is, it's been said many times, it is impossible to intentionally make a good bad movie. Lost Skeleton proves this wrong because they are totally perfect at every single step of the game. Before that, the only thing that I think ever came close to it would be Lobster Man from Mars. The plot of which is about someone intentionally trying to make a bad movie so it can get written off as a tax shelter. But oh my gosh.
Wait, so it's the producers of...
It's the producers of bad movies, but people actually start liking it. There's no springtime for Nazi lobsters. There's nothing like that.
I feel like you just pointed out the only flaw in that movie.
That is the one and only flaw. Danny Aiello
is in
that
I have
film?
A new calling in life
I believe
now.
Danny Aiello is in that
He's kind of awesome.
Which, is it, you know, it makes it interesting.
Coming soon, springtime for Nazi lobsters.
Yeah. I'm already thinking about it.
Tim's writing it.
And I ask that question because there came a moment, there was a moment in our history where a movie that was never intended to be a cult, was supposed to be a real, honest, serious drama, maybe even going for Academy Awards, became a cult film. And the studio decided, you know what, we're losing money, let's embrace it. When Mommy Dearest changed their ad campaign.
Wow.
To no more wire hangers.
Everybody went to see it.
Everybody went to see this movie. And I believe that's the moment where Hollywood started going, well, you know.
Whatever happened to Baby Jane?
Yeah, well,
that was some crazy, weird, like, messed up. Didn't they do the same thing? That was before then, right?
Oh, yeah, that was definitely.
But that was some weird cult movie, too.
For its time, for its day, it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because you think about it, and there's a lot of movies that nowadays you wouldn't think of as cult movies and necessarily, but, like, if you look at The Labyrinth and...
Mm. Oh, yeah.
If you're looking at The Labyrinth, you're probably just looking at David Bowie's package, but still, you know,
I mean,
you look at The Labyrinth or The Princess Bride, those are movies that you talk to people now and people are like, yeah, that's just a movie, just but, you know, in its time.
And Rocky Horror got rebranded.
Yeah,
sure.
Rocky
Horror. People forget, Princess Bride was not a hit.
It was in my heart, Billy.
I got married at Princess Bride. Like, our wedding ceremony was Princess
Really? Because that
Bride.
Came out in 84. How old are you?
Well, I'm 42, but I didn't get married to that. But
oh, okay. That's
when we got married 10 years ago, we did a princess and Princess Bride wedding, and that was our wedding. That was the funniest thing that happened at our wedding. My grandma had never seen this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My grandma had never seen this movie. Everybody at our wedding had seen it. There's a video camera sitting next to my grandma filming our vows. Our friend gets up there and he goes, "Marriage is what brings us together today." Everybody laughed that knew it. My grandma on the video, on my wedding video, says, "Why are they laughing? He can't help how he talks."
It's always the grandmas. Always the grandmas with the one-liners.
And that is the greatest thing I will always have of my grandmother's thing.
You know, sadly, I don't have any kind of recording, but if you could have been present when my grandmother watched when we brought home the rented tape of Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh,
I don't know what this
Which
shit
version?
Is. The musical.
What's with the dentist?
That plant's gonna eat something.
She was like, I don't know about this.
What? No, it's fun. It's a good time.
Yeah, Grandma, it's okay.
That is really cool.
I had a similar incident with my grandmother watching Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm. That's fun.
I have to keep insisting
with your
that my
grandmother.
Come see my show.
Yeah.
Well, she lives with us, so.
She really wants to, though.
She, really she eventually saw a Rocky Horror Picture Show because she was curious about what I was shadow casting. So that was an interesting experience of my grandmother finally watching Rocky.
The one question I know that will go great for you two as well. What's the cult movie you love that nobody knows?
Mm.
What's the one? Yes, Frank.
1990, The Bronx Warriors.
Wow, okay, okay, yeah. Okay. Anybody else seen 1990 The Bronx Warriors?
Yeah,
I did see that.
But there is one that it's maybe like the shortest cult movie, I guess you could call it.
Don't say Bambi Meets Godzilla.
It is. It lasts like 10 seconds.
It's fine.
Just eating something and then Godzilla's foot coming down and smashing him.
Nice.
Yes.
And the credits run, and then you see one of his claws twitch, and that's it.
In fairness, it's a black and white drawing, Bambi's in there eating, and the credits roll. It's Bambi Meets Godzilla, directed, written by Marv Newland, directed by Marv Newland, created by Marv Newland, Marv Newland created by Mr. and Mrs. Newland, and it just goes on. And then, and the toenails.
And the toenails twitch, and then that's the end of it.
It's
brilliant.
It's on the YouTubes.
It's on the YouTube.
There it is.
Yes.
Yes.
With that great music.
Bambi. I don't watch Bambi get squished.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, but it's
fine.
In a similar vein, there was a short film. I'm not really sure it counts as cult, but there is a short film called Rejected by Don Hertzfeldt.
Okay.
Which is this really great, it's pencil-drawn animation that of Don Hertzfeldt's rejected commercials that he made for various products. And eventually it just sort of goes into this absurd, surreal, everything kind of falling apart as it chronicles his mental breakdown as his with his continued failures with these commercials that, if you see it, you will understand why they were rejected, which I can also pull up on YouTube.
There you go.
Oh,
well, it delivers what it says.
It does.
Yeah.
And weird, because I first saw that on the movie channel, of all places.
Wow.
If you go back to the 1980s, there was a moment where these burgeoning cable networks really tried. One summer between when I was in 6th and 7th grade, the movie channel did this thing. Once a week, they showed a different movie. They showed, like, The Brain from Planet Eros. They showed, oh my God, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. And the thing that they did three, and for the last week of the month, they had a 900 number for you to call.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And you were supposed to vote on what you wanted, and they showed the one that people voted for the most, which, of course, was Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, because, oh, my God, how did that movie ever get a national release? That's insane. I don't
awesome.
Any idea how that ever happened. So cable used to be the place for this, and the movie channel especially. I know they kind of got down to that, but they used to embrace cult movies. They used to have Joe Bob Briggs on Friday, Saturday nights, doing a double feature where he would show us some of the most horrific things ever. It's where I first saw Evil Tunes. It's where I first saw Sorority Babes in the Slime Ball Bowlerama. If you don't know what happens when an imp gets trapped into a bowling trophy for eons, and I never understood how he was
gets
a
out.
Bowling trophy for eons. I didn't know they bowled for that.
My TV collection had to be
well, if you listen
USA's
to Stephen Lynch.
USA's Up All Night.
Yeah, I used to watch that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God. Elvira for a while.
Elvira.
Oh, I love
Elvira. Tales from the Crypt.
Rhonda, somebody?
Rhonda Shear.
Rhonda Shear.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, Rhonda Shear.
Yes. Sorry, I need a moment. I've mentioned Rhonda Shear and Monique Gabrielle in the same panel. Table flipping will be occurring at some point in time.
Yes.
Since I know you guys, you know, you know what you started with was Rocky, and you're going to be doing Lost Skeleton. My question is, as much as I love this movie, I keep thinking to myself, well, other than sitting around with my friends and all of us drunkenly saying things, how do you translate a Rocky-type experience to this movie? Did you find it challenging to adapt it, or you're like, oh my God, no, this actually works, because they did it right?
There's a couple quick costume changes that we fixed.
And if you need an extra second, just come on out. We don't care.
Zing. But we're really playing off of the fact that it's obvious props in the movie.
What are you talking about? I believed everything I saw.
That spaceship is real.
Super realistic spaceship.
That is my spaceship. Yeah. It is
scientific
real.
Advancements like this are going to... Okay.
It's a reason why Hawking does those these days, right?
There's certain jokes. Yeah. There's certain just interactions that were kind of playing up in a slightly different way.
And they're funny.
Hi, Lattice.
So if you're there later, you'll go, oh, that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of embracing the absurd and just embracing the movie for what it is, and it's just a beautiful movie, and I think it speaks for itself, but we're also in front of it.
Also
doing the thing.
We'll be in color.
And that's the only difference. That's all you'll tell us.
We can fix that one day.
I insisted for black and white.
I thought there was going to be makeup.
No, it's going to be corrected in post because I'm going to film this.
And in post, we're going to be black and white and it's going to be color.
That would be funny, actually.
If you actually have for the movie, there is some color footage.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Thank you for making me think of Raging Bull just then. Thank
you. Yeah, it was colored. It was colored for half of the sequel. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the sequel is pretty interesting because they're in black and white and they look out into like the mountains and it flips into color and then the camera looks back at them and it's back to black and white.
I think we kind of hope to one day do a double feature.
That'd be good.
Well, it was supposed to be a third
creature feature.
Yes, the Lost Skeleton Walks Among Us.
Yeah, unfortunately, funding fell short.
We could just make our own.
After he returns again.
Do you know why I love that title?
Why?
Because that's the title of the third Creature from the Black Lagoon movie. The Creature Walks Among Us.
Yes.
Do you know they made three Creature from the Black Lagoon movies? Do you know the second one is Clint Eastwood's first film?
No. Oh, no.
He's one of the scientists in a lab coat.
Holy crap.
I get it.
The third movie, and I mention this because this is an example of a cult film that is just so bad, I don't know that you can enjoy it. The creature, which had been captured for the second one and was basically at SeaWorld, In the third one, there's a fire, and he is burned, and it affects the fish parts. They decide to make him as human as they possibly can. Oh, so you have a half-man creature from the Black Lagoon now wearing clothes because he's a
burnt. Because why not?
All I'm picturing is, like, the creature from Black Lagoon in, like, a farmer's hat and, like...
No, they actually gave him the button-up shirt
I'm picturing him in
trousers.
I'm picturing him in a onesie.
In a onesie? Aww.
Oh, Lord, yeah. So we have about 11 minutes to do this. So, what project... Your dream project of any cult movie that you could take and turn into one of these presentations, what would be the one you'd want to do more than anything?
Devil's Carnival.
I understand you've done.
Devil's Carnival.
Yeah, I mean,
I know
Skeleton
is up there.
But
we've talked about this movie for many
different conventions.
But I would say, like, if I had to reach deeper into the well, I think Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park would be fun.
Oh,
we did a commentary track for that a couple of Halloweens ago for GRD. I was like, guys, it's like, yeah, what are you talking about? I'm like, Kiss, they did a movie. You're like, what? It's like, no, we gotta watch this.
Kiss Meets Scooby Doo. It's actually made by Hanna Barbera.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the incidental music is all Scooby Doo music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is
I remember that one.
They gave them all superpowers of sorts.
Yes.
Yeah. And Peter Criss meows for no reason that I can think of.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're saying this like it's bad.
Meow.
The way they do it, kind of.
No, I've seen this. I'm well aware.
I think that I just think that would be a fun show to do.
Oh, I think it would be great.
Yeah. All of us getting makeup.
I know one
like
that
you don't
we
already
want
do that.
Close future is Clue. That one has a little bit of difficulty
that would
with
be incredibly
rights.
Challenging.
Yeah. It's more
Clue,
of a
I've
rights
done
issue.
Clue.
Paramount is very possessive. But I really want to do Repo. Yeah. I really want to do Repo. Yeah.
Repo's a lot of fun.
It's so much fun. I've seen Repo Shadowcast, and it's just so fun. I want to do that.
Is that a bobcat or a child out there?
Both.
It's a bobcat child.
Oh, wow.
Well, there was a child. Bobcat. It was a were child. It was a child on the full moon.
Oh, Manimal.
Manimal.
Sorry, Manimal. Yeah. Manimal's happening outside the...
Oh.
Manimal?
How's that? How did that never get turned into a movie? Come on.
How did that never get turned into a musical?
Am I mad?
Isn't that Cats?
Yeah, I think they did. It was like, it's called Cats.
Meow, meow, meow.
They only turned into the snake for the opening. It was such a ripoff. God, such a ripoff.
Well, I think I've been inspired today. I'm going to see if I can do a one-man interpretive dance version of Bambi Meets Godzilla.
You have 4 hours.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
I'm going to use it as a stance for commercialism and how the bourgeoisie has no for bullshit.
You're getting deep with us. Come on now.
Wait, can I be Godzilla and step
Mine
on you?
Mine would definitely be
it's a one-man
Carnival.
Show.
I've always wanted
I'm a
to
woman.
Do it. Ever since I started Repo and started kind of watching that series of, like, Terrence Dunich's stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Devil's Carnival, and the person I'd want to play is Broken Doll.
Of course.
Yeah. The one with the most intensive makeup.
What? You intensive makeup?
I would really like to do... I'd like to do Evil Dead.
Ooh.
I love Evil Dead.
Don't even need callbacks.
I watch that probably every 2 months.
It callbacks.
Just to watch it. Because I love that movie.
Now, I have to ask.
Go for it.
When you say Evil Dead, are you talking Evil Dead, or are you talking Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn?
Two.
Okay, thank you.
Or
the musical.
Oh, hell.
Yes.
I like two.
Or the remake that took itself a little too seriously.
Do you know?
Yeah.
A little too seriously.
That'll be our trilogy.
Wow.
Weird.
Went from a single to a double feature, now a trilogy.
Now, see, I was lucky growing up. My mom was big into horror movies. My mom could tell you the story. Mm. She was at the theater when there were Catholics. They're protesting, telling people they were going to hell if they went in to watch The Exorcist. So... horror movies big.
I like
time.
That you point at me like I was personally there.
You were
there.
You're wearing the skirt.
Timey-wimey.
There was time travel involved.
Billy,
really, I mean.
There's still Catholics.
Yeah. So. My mom, back when there were video stores, my mom rented Evil Dead 2. And I come home Friday night, it's been, you know, marching band, so I've had things to do. So I get home, and my mom's like, she rented this, and shipped, and I was like, oh, that's a sequel to Evil Dead, which I saw on the movie channel, oddly enough. And I was like, oh, I don't know, that was kind of stupid. I don't know if you're going to like that. I'm like, oh, okay. 2 hours later, I'm like, ah, well, let's see. Blip, play.
Wow! Yes.
I saw it to my mom. I'm like, what did you not like about that? She went, it was stupid. I'm like, no, it was incredible.
Yes. That would be a great one to do. Honestly, another one I'd love to do is The Princess Bride, because that one holds a special place in my heart, and I think you can make it, you know, even funnier than it is, and I think you can make it work for a shadow cast, and it's just like, it's one of those movies that I just love so much.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think you should do Showgirls.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
Have you mentioned this before?
Starring Syrinx?
No, I'm totally down with that.
An all-male review of Showgirls.
Shadow cast of Showgirls. We've actually talked about it on many occasions.
In 2000, was it 2 or 3, they made a box set of Showgirls that came with a shot glass, it came with a deck of cards, and it came with a pin the pasties on the stripper game as well.
It came with a Showgirl, but they forgot to poke holes in it. The box, not the Showgirl.
There's two audio commentary tracks. One, there's a gentleman from California whose name I don't remember, and I wish I did. He got a midnight movie release of Showgirls going. And his commentary track for it is on there. And it's hilarious. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie or remember it at all.
I remember
it. There is one
movie.
Moment where someone in all seriousness looks at Elizabeth Berkley and goes, you have more natural talent than any dancer I've ever seen. And this guy goes, boy, sorry, my mind just went. So I understand it would have to be adapted in some way, shape, or form. But there's a lot of comedic gold inside of Showgirls.
It's entirely comedic gold. That's one of those movies that takes itself seriously in a way that makes it
funny. It's a place where a press conference is held for a new Vegas showgirl. Because that's important in this world.
Because that's a thing.
It's slow news day in California.
And then afterwards, we can go buy a bag from Versace. All right, what's that? Anybody got any questions before we have to wrap up and get out of here? Yes, Frank.
As far as potential musicals, what about The Room? What do you think of that? Because that's already got a semi-Rocky Horror movement.
Is there any way, shape, or form you could improve on The Room at all?
Good point.
I know Riptrax is taking it on.
If you try to do a musical of that, you'd have to have bad music. You'd have to have
very bad.
You'd have to have the same song play a couple of times. Mm. You'd have to have people interrupt. I mean, I don't know how. Are you up for that challenge?
Are we writing this later? I think we're writing this later, apparently.
You know, apparently, what are the after parties tonight? This will be happening if you want to participate.
I think Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park said it, you know, you didn't stop to think if you should.
Yes.
Life finds a way.
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy.
No, we don't have to do that. We're living that.
No. That's happening now.
That's the only cult movie that ever became a documentary.
You can't make that musical. Just picture Idiocracy the musical.
Ooh. We're living that. So we're singing during our life?
Yeah, we just sing now. Exactly.
Ooh, sing now.
I'm just trying to picture the commercial. Okay, sorry. Any other questions? We got 2 minutes.
Fearless Vampire Killer.
Ooh, good call.
I like that question is just naming movies we should.
What about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter?
They had a Broadway musical that was really not good.
Now, are we going to have...
bad Broadway musical? Gasp.
Are we going to have somebody playing Roman Polanski's character as the most horrific looking guy ever?
Obviously. You're hired, Billy.
Oh!
I was going to say, I'm typecasting myself for that.
I'm not going to do that.
No. All right, so where's everybody going to be later?
I called it for a second.
Lost Galaxy.
We had a blast. And you can sleep now.
We had a few people who read their scripts.
And do not bum rush this gentleman and worship him with love and adoration all at once. Let's give him some
time. That comes later.
But we have a very special guest who has actually attended this panel. Please, sir, I know that you've been living for this moment. Please.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen of the panel, I would like to introduce you to Mr. Courtney Skinner.
Yes.
Look at your badge. Come on.
For those of you that have already seen The Lost Skeleton of the Cadaver, he is the one that created the mutant head.
I made the mutant costume.
Oh, you made the whole costume.
I made the Transmutatron.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
I designed the spaceship.
Nice.
Okay. We would love for you to criticize our props later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Especially the Transmutatron.
Don't criticize. Especially this guy.
And I'm also very happy to add that the actual mutant head
has survived to this day.
Has survived 17 years and will be in our
making
show
a comeback. First ever
stage. Which is exciting.
Mutant head from the movie will be here.
Not a
autographs, of course, he'll sign autographs. You just put a pin in his mouth.
That sounds like a great idea.
Hey, I'm always...
Yeah.
There's no opportunity I can't find to make money.
Yep.
There's not one.
I thought you were going to say there's no opportunity you can't find to put things in your mouth.
Hey now!
Zing!
And also, before you guys go, stop by. I've got ribbons for all of you.
Yeah, you got ribbons.
I sleep now.
You can sleep now.
Well, again, thank you to RavenCon for having us out. We always love being there with you. It's a fantastic time. Thank you to all the folks from Charming Underclothes, Mr. Courtney Skinner, and the very involved audience that loved cult movies just as much as we did. This little moment of RavenCon has been brought to you by GeekRadioDaily.com.